Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
It's my joy and honor to be with you today. For the young people here today, I came to Christ in 1975 B.C., before cell phone and before computers. That's what B.C. stands for me. 44 years ago, I answered a call to serve the Lord in ministry. 40 years ago, right now, this time frame, and Dr. Knight is familiar with it, be celebrating 40 years of traveling, teaching, and preaching the Word of God. I don't need another air mile. I don't get on a plane for an air mile. I don't go to a hotel for get some points. It's not my deal. I don't say that arrogantly. It's got to be a higher purpose than that. I've been able to meet a lot of people as I've traveled and taught and preached in small places and large places. And I usually size the person up pretty fast, really fast, by the size of their spirit. You can pick up quickly the size of a person's spirit. And that draws me to that individual. And I thank the Lord for the individuals I've had the opportunity to get to know and spend time with and become very close friends. Now, I've been traveling a lot. And I don't want you to miss what I'm about to say. I've been traveling a whole lot. A few months ago, I was on a plane with my oldest daughter, Olivia, and my wife and my youngest daughter. But there was a guy that was talking really loud on the plane. I know you probably like it when people talk loud on planes. I don't like that. There's so much noise in the world. I like the planes kind of get quiet. This guy was talking really loud on the plane. We were just parked, getting ready to park to the gate. He was talking about how much traveling he's been doing. And I'm crossing my 10th million actual air mile. So he was talking about how much traveling he's been doing. And my oldest daughter just looked up to me and she says, "He doesn't have a clue what you've done, does he, Dad?" I have traveled a lot. And the reason I've done it is because the Lord wants every man and woman to hear the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. But I highlight the fact I've traveled a lot, met a lot of people a lot, to zero back in on one thing I really want to say before I move into what we're going to hear today. I'm grateful that God put Michael Knight in my life. Michael, so is we. Michael has seen me on good days, and Michael has seen me on bad days. He's seen me when I'm flying like a satellite, and he's seen me when I'm like a submarine underneath the water. He has. And I remember when I met Dr. Knight for the very first time. It was down in Nashville Airport. It was on a Wednesday before Thanksgiving. I was flying from Springfield, Missouri over there, and I met him right through the security, and the size of Dr. Knight's spirit captured my imagination. And 19 years ago, him and his wife took a step of faith and said, "We're going to, with your help, Lord, we're going to build a great church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky." And we're beneficiaries of that faith today. And there are people who have been here the whole time, but there's some not been here very long at all. And we get to enjoy the effort of those who've already gone ahead of us. And I want you to know you'll never find a better pastor and pastor's wife and family than the ones that God has given to you as your spiritual leader right here at this church. Amen? It's true. I've enjoyed my time with Dr. Knight and the meetings we've had. And he serves on our executive board of the ministry. He serves as treasurer of the board. And it's a joy to have him involved in the inside and outside of it. And we have a lot more in front of us if the Lord tarries long enough. If you go to the next slide, if you would. You've heard us talking about Nepal. Nepal is a very important place. for the body of Christ. There's over a billion to the right and over a billion to the left, and 30 million people in Nepal. It's a very strategic place. Not a lot of people go to Nepal. A couple years ago, I was on a plane. I was flying to New York, catch a flight to go over this Antarctica to come into China, shortcut. And pilot, American pilot, was sitting next to me. And he goes, "Where are you going today?" We were flying from Orlando to New York. And I said, "Oh, I'm going to Nepal." He says, "You know, I've been flying with American more than 25 years. And I ask every time I get on a plane, 'Where are you going today?' And I've never had anybody say, 'I'm going to Nepal.'" He said, "When you get back?" I said, "Friday." He said, "You know, the day's the weekend." He said, "You're going to be back by Friday." "Oh, yeah." I said, "We'll be back by Friday." And I told him what we were doing. Go to the next slide, if you would. You helped to launch a hub there 2 years ago. Do you remember that? That hub has become 8 hubs. That hub has become 8 hubs. There are 72 hubs now in the Global Church Network. We have a strategy by the Lord Terry's by 2025. There'll be 200 hubs there in the network to make the net work. And what does a hub do? Systematizes the best training, synergizes the best people, strategizes for those yet to hear. And we're very strategic in our hub deployment. Go to the next slide, if you would. And we have in front of us a huge assignment. But it's an assignment that has the touch of God upon it. Across the Himalaya Mountains, the highest mountains of the world, 15,000 or 1,500 miles wide, are 20,000 plus villages that do not have a single church in them. Some of the hardest unreached places in the world that make up 57 million people. 57 million people who live across the Himalaya Mountains do not have a church within walking distance. Go to the next slide, if you would. It's one of the pictures of the Himalayas, a little taller than Rolling Hills in Kentucky. Go to the next slide, if you would. And we thank God for the Rolling Hills of Kentucky, but those are just a little larger than that. This is one of the villages in the summertime in the Himalayas. Now, the average person, when they live in these villages across the Himalayas, they make about $50 a month is the average wage. That's about maybe a tank of gas, probably the size of the tank of your car. And a man or a woman would work a whole month to earn that much. Now, you and I know $50 doesn't go very far in the United States of America, right? But that's who the Lord has called us to. Now, this particular village will never have an automobile in it. There are not motorbikes there. There may be a bicycle, maybe, because of the high elevation. There are no roads there. You don't get on roads that, "I think I'm going to drive to that village today." No, you have to climb to that village. That's the only way you can get there. Okay, go to the next slide if you would. And this picture here is a picture of Mount Everest, 29,100 some feet to the summit there. I took that from an airplane early one morning. Me and a couple of other guys flew across the Himalayas so we could pray over the Himalayas. We believe that in our lifetime, all the villages are going to have churches in them. If I had a dollar for every time I heard a person say that's never going to happen, I'd be an extremely wealthy person. I can just tell you right now, there are no problems too big to solve, just too many small people trying to solve big problems. And I'm going to say more about that in a little bit. Go to the next slide, if you would. And you helped us a year ago to launch a summit called Give Me This Mountain Summit. When Caleb was going into Canaan, he said to Joshua, "Give me this mountain." And he named it. He knew exactly what the mountain was. And so we had the Give Me This Mountain Summit. Go to the next slide. This is one of the pastors that came. The Lord helped us raise enough funds for backpacks for the people who attended, the leaders that attended the summit. Not a backpack to carry textbooks, but a backpack to help climb mountains. Okay? And because this is what we're talking about. Go to the next slide, if you would. Now, this gentleman right here in the green, he heard about the summit that you helped us to launch. And by way of radio. And so he decided, he's a pastor in a small village, he decided he would attend that summit. So he hiked, I didn't say walk, didn't say drive, I said he hiked 15 days through the Himalaya Mountains to get to a bus stop, the last bus stop on the route, to take the bus stop into Kathmandu to attend the summit. Now, I want you to get a better understanding of where that is. Go to the next slide, if you would. And there's Dolpol. That's where he lives. Okay. To the right of that is Tibet. So when you get to the border, that's Tibet. And so he hiked all the way out of there. And Kathmandu, you see where Kathmandu is down. He had to go through the mountains, get to the bus stop, and then make his way all the way to the summit. Go back to the previous slide, if you would. So if it takes 15 days to get there, how long does it take to get back? 15 days. So he hiked 30 days round trip for a three-day summit called Give Me This Mountain Summit. Can I tell you something? With that kind of tenacity and that kind of leadership, there are going to be churches planted across the Himalaya Mountains. How are we going to finish the Great Commission? It's not because we're just going to go there and try to climb all the mountains. You and I are not prepared for that. God didn't equip us for that. But God has people who are ready to go there. They're ready to be a part of it, be a part of planting churches across that area of the world. I've invited, Pastor Mike, I've invited this gentleman that's in the green there to be at the next Synergize Conference in Orlando, Florida. I want him to just share his story about what it is to pastor in Dolpol. Dolpol elevation is just above 15,000 foot. It is the high, listen, it is the highest human settlement on earth. And the Lord, through his providence, allowed us to partner with a brother who pastors a church in the highest human settlement in the world. I remember when we launched the summit a year ago, January, I said to Bishwa, who's a distinguished leader there, I said, please help us to find out where the highest human settlement is. And he goes, why is that? I said, we want to start there. He says, why do we want to start there? I said, because everything's downhill after that. And the Lord brought to us, by hiking 15 days, a man who pastors a small church in a village, the highest human settlement in the world. Go to the next slide, if you would. And so, and this is a picture of the crowd that was there. Go to the next slide, if you would. And we're focused on the next phase of this, and that's getting the first 200 ready to go plant churches in the Himalayas. And you say, how can we do that at $20 each? When we had a summit, when we had the summit, we had a meeting behind the meeting. And it was at the hotel. And it was going to cost us $100 to have this meet, to rent a room at this hotel. So I said to Bishwa, and Pastor Mike knows who he is. I said, Bishwa, I said, that's fine. Let's rent that room for 3 hours and we'll be able to have this private meeting with about 40 leaders there. And he goes, $100? He said, that's just too much money to that. I said, no, that's fine. Let's just do that. He goes, no, we just can't do that. So we met outside behind the hotel and some tables in the outdoor. And the reason why he couldn't justify spending the $100 is because in Kathmandu, the average wage per month is $118. So he couldn't justify spending a month's wage for the meeting in the hotel when we could have the meeting for free in the back of the hotel. And so I thank God for a strong U.S. dollar abroad, because when the dollar is strong, the dollar goes further. All right? So when we think about U.S. currency and the compounding nature of it and what people make there, $20 is not just $20. Get past the $20 mindset in the U.S. That is right there a $200 investment. It's not a $20 investment. Because of the strength of the U.S. currency, that's why we're able to do what we do and be able to accomplish what the Lord has allowed us to accomplish. And so following the teaching today, pastor's going to receive an offering for Kathmandu for the next level of this. We were really hurrying, working hard. And Pastor Mike and Michael and I will be with a leader from Nepal this coming week. He's flying over, and we're going to spend some time with him. And he is the president of the Nepalese Fellowship of Churches in Nepal, and to focus specifically across the Himalaya Mountains. So what we're doing is in real time, in this time in which we live. I want you to catch this video, and right afterwards, I'm coming back. Let the spirit of the video capture your imagination. And when you look at the video, look at the age of the participants in the video. This is a young church full of faith and vision, and they're going to make this happen across the Himalayas. And right afterward, I'm going to come back and teach today, if we could catch that video. Just get out of the way and let them get it done, right? Because they're going to help make it happen. In just a moment, I want to read out of Isaiah 54, verses 1, 2, and 3. And the Lord whispered to my heart about what I should teach here today. I mentioned it to Pastor Michael just over a week ago. Would you stand with me in honor of God's word today? Isaiah 54, verses 1, 2, and 3. Listen to what Isaiah says. It's a prophetic word. He says, "Shout for joy, O barren one, you have borne no child. Break forth into joyful singing and cry aloud, you who have not travailed. For the sons of the desolate one will be more numerous than the sons of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Spare not. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your pegs. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your descendants will possess nations and will resettle the desolate cities." Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to live long enough to see this day. Lord, I pray for my brother and my sister in this sacred gathering. Take good care of them, I pray. I pray, Lord, that everything I'm about to say will be ordered and directed by you. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you praise for it. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen and amen. You may be seated today. For a little while, I want to teach on lengthening and strengthening your life. Now, I want to ask you a few questions as we get started. Do you see yourself as a river or as a reservoir? Do you see yourself as a container or as a channel? Do you view the Lord through a small lens, or do you view the Lord through a huge lens? How we answer these questions has a lot to do with what our future looks like. Isaiah prophesied and he said, there's something huge coming. He said, get your tents bigger. Get your cords tighter. He says, spare not in your resources, because He says, I'm up to something really large. And he's talking in spiritual terms here. Because he's saying to the Israel, though you may not have bore the children physically, the spiritual size is going to be larger than you've ever imagined in your life. I believe the Lord is challenging us in this room today, myself included, to lengthen and strengthen our life. And I hope that what the Lord's been whispering to me about, He will deposit into every one of our hearts today. And I hope that you'll write some notes down along the way today. And when you get home, you'll put it on a 4x6 card and take it and put it on your refrigerator door and learn it. You say, why should I put it on the refrigerator door? Because we go there every day. Some go more than once a day. And learn it because God wants to enlarge your tent. He wants to make you a bigger and better person. He really wants to enlarge us. He wants to make us more of what He intended us to be from the very beginning that we came to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And I hope and pray that God deposits godly wisdom into our heart today. First of all, the children that God desires. The children that God desires. Now, He talks about here, as I said, spiritual children. And He's highlighting that because we're not here today to just talk about physical children, and I'm grateful that the ones we do have, but He's trying to get us to think in a different way about spiritual children. He says, enlarge your tent. There's going to be a huge birth rate. He says, you're going to need to think about it in a different way. You're going to need to sow in a different manner. The children that God desires. God wants covenant, community, church to grow. He wants there to be new birth of men and women coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He wants us to enlarge our tent. He wants us to think about it in a different way because He's bringing people into the kingdom of God. And somebody said, amen. If we don't grow and go, we'll dry and die. We cannot stay where we are. A church that's not interested in winning the lost is not worth the property that it sits on. I don't care what your net value is. That's not the way God computes it in glory. God wants there to be spiritual children coming into the kingdom of God. And if we're not careful, we get wrapped up in what matters to us and we get focused on ourselves. We get focused on our needs rather than their needs. Now, God wants to meet our needs. He does. Some time ago, a consultant was spending a day with an organization, and he put a big dot on a screen. And so he began to ask people in the organization, what do you see? A lady said, I see a big black dot. He asked a gentleman, he said, I see a big black dot. He asked somebody else, he said, I see a big black dot. And no one said, I see a lot of white space around a big black dot. They focused on the black dot. Now, for us in our context here today, the black dot represents our personal needs. And we all have similar needs. Maybe we may live in different locations, but we all have similar needs. We oftentimes pray about our families, and we should. We pray about our fitness, we should. We pray about our finances, and we should. We pray about our future, and we should. We pray about our personal faith in God, and we should. We should pray about those things. But a lot of Christians never get beyond that. Their prayer time is primarily wrapped up in those major categories of life. Jesus said one time this. He said, lift up your eyes. He says, lift up your eyes at the fields already white unto harvest. He says, don't say you've got time. He says, the fields are already ready. He says, don't you see it? See, ladies and gentlemen, thank God for he wants to take care of our needs. But we got to get to the white space. We got to get and think about the fields. We got to think about the planet. We got to think about the world. Now, when I say think about the planet, I'm not talking about any green deal today. I'm not talking about that. What I'm saying is Jesus Christ came to save the planet. I used to say, you know, let's go out and help change the world. I don't say that anymore. Jesus came to seek and to save. And after the save comes the change. But it's not because I brought it. Jesus is the change agent. He just wants to use us. I used to say, let's go someplace and do something for the Lord. I don't say that anymore. I believe that when I go there, he's going to show me what he's already doing. When I got to Nepal, God's already at work. He has a guy in the 15,000 foot level already planted a church there to show us that it can be done. You see, it's the children that God desires. Let me ask all of us a question. I don't want to make us uncomfortable. Do you have any spiritual children that you can say, because of your life, because of you, you have led them to Jesus Christ? If you were to take out a piece of paper today when you got home and said, I'm going to write down the list of the people that have come to Christ through me, how long would that list be? Did you know a lot of people in America live their life and die and never lead anybody to Jesus? Never lead anybody. I just can't understand that. It's like a person who has a cure for an incurable disease living next door to a person who has a disease and never tells them how to be saved. Break bread with their children, have ball games, but in the back of the room, there's a cure for the disease, but, you know, it just wasn't marketable right yet, so therefore I just kept it to myself. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. The Lord wants there to be spiritual children brought into the kingdom of God. God wants to enlarge this tent. He wants to make it stronger and deeper and broader than it's ever been before. And if you believe it, say amen. Spiritual children. But not only spiritual children, but spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers. Are you fathering somebody? Are you mothering somebody? I'm talking about spiritually now. Listen to what Paul said to the church in Corinth one time. He said this. He said there are more than 10,000 instructors, but only a few fathers. And he said, and I am your spiritual father. Are you a spiritual father? Are you a spiritual mother? Are you discipling? Are you pouring in to people and helping them to mature and to grow? If not, when will that happen? Because when we begin to disciple is when we move into multiplication. It takes two wings to fly. You'll never get a one-winged bird off the ground. It takes two wings to grow a great church, evangelism and discipleship. And discipleship is hard work. That's why so many few people want to do it. Are you a spiritual father? Are you a spiritual mother? Are you leading people into the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ? And then are you helping them to learn how to fly? And great faith with the Lord. It's the children that God desires. He says he wants so many spiritual children. He said they will be moving to the right and to the left. He says they will populate the nations. And he says, and they will take over depleted cities. He says, that's what I have planned for the kingdom of God. The children that God desires. Secondly today, the covering that God designs. The covering that God designs. Listen to what he says. He says, enlarge your tent. He says, spare not your resources. He says, strengthen your cords. Listen to what he says. He says, enlarge. He says, spare not. and he says, lengthen. He's saying, get bigger, get larger, think differently, live differently, enlarge your tent. Nomadic people, they lived in a tent and they moved around in a tent. And everything in that day and time wrapped around their tent. Their animals were around their tent. Their children were in their tent. And so if their family was getting bigger, then they would have to make their tent bigger. If they were having a new child come into the family, they weren't going to say, oh, sorry, the tent's not big enough. You'll just have to live outside. No, there was a covering. There was a covering that God designed. He said, you got to enlarge your tent. It's going to cost you more. You have to spare not your resources. It's going to cost you more. You're going to enlarge your tent. He said, you've got to learn to lengthen. You got to lengthen your life. He's saying, you've got to get larger in how you view the change that's coming. Ladies and gentlemen, Christianity is not about to go out of business. Christianity is flourishing in the world. We in the West have this idea that Christianity is just barely struggling to make it. I have Christians come to me and say, "You think the church will survive?" I literally have people, "Oh, really?" So you don't believe the Bible very much. The covering that God designs. You see, small-minded people have small thoughts about God. What kind of thoughts do you have about the Lord? What are the kind of qualifications that make up a small person? I don't mean in physical stature. I'm talking about in spiritual reality. They have small thoughts about the Lord. They don't see him as the king of the universe sailing a ship to glory. They view him so oftentimes as someone that's so abstract, that's detached from their life. And that's not the way the Lord wants us to live. A person who's chosen to live a smaller life rather than get the tent out there, lengthen those cords, they have a small focus in leadership. I wear contact lenses, and I have since I was 17. I started wearing glasses when I was 2. When I got to the hotel last night, the last thing I did was I took my glasses off by the bed. The first thing I did this morning was I put them on. Because when I put them on, I have focus. Now, I didn't buy a pair of glasses so I could say to the eye doctor, now, doctor, I want you to get me the kind of glasses that make me look at everything really small. I want to have good vision. I want to be able to see the big stuff and the small stuff. But a person who lives a small mentality, a small spirit, who doesn't believe that God can do much for him or her, they have a small focus. They really do believe it's all about them. They're more willing to settle for the A thing rather than the thing. They'd rather be a part of what they're doing rather than a part of what everybody else is doing. They're an island to themselves. And they live that life that way. And so therefore they judge everything based upon whether or not it helps them. Rather not whether it helps the whole team. It's not the issue. Small focus in leadership. Not only small focus, but a small faith in the Lord. Listen to what Hebrews 11:6 says. And we know it. It says, it's impossible to please the Lord without faith. Now listen to what he says. It's impossible to please the Lord. How many of us want to please the Lord? Can I see your hand? You want to please the Lord? Listen to what he says. He says it's impossible to please the Lord without faith. Now, when God says something is impossible, we better sit up and pay attention. Because our God is the God of the impossible. And somebody said amen. But he says there is something that is impossible. And that is you can't please me without faith. Now, if you please the Lord, it doesn't matter who you displease. But if you displease the Lord, it doesn't matter who you please. Our goal is not to make everybody happy. Our goal is not to just lead a parade with people cheering us on. Our goal is to please the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But a person that doesn't have that, they have a small faith in the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, the size of our faith is determined by the object of our faith. If we put our faith in ourselves, we get what we can do. If we put our faith in our church, we get what our church can do. If we put our faith in our nation, we get what our nation can do. But if we put our faith in God, we get what God can do, and God can do anything. So therefore, he challenges us to enlarge our tent. Get it God-sized. He says, spare not your resources. Don't be stingy. He says, and lengthen your cords. And he's saying, get ready for what I have planned for your life. A person who doesn't live that way also not only has a small faith in the Lord, but they have big frustration in life. Big frustration in life. You know, it doesn't take much to get them upset. You ever been around somebody like that? If you're in New York City, for example, before the light has turned totally green, it's still half red and half green, they're blowing the horn at you. That's not the kind of person you want to have a conversation with, because they're going to butt in all along the way. They're going to say, just speed up. You're taking too long to talk. You ever been around like somebody like that? They really don't want to hear what you have to say. They really want you to just get it over with so they can just tell you what they want to say. A person that has that kind of mindset, they're frustrated with so many things. They're so focused on the small stuff that they miss the hugeness of life. It's like a pastor was preaching and he used the word britches instead of trousers. So a person who had a master's in English cut him off at the pass in the lobby. Said, I noticed you chose to use the word britches instead of trousers. Yes. You know, it would have been a lot better English-wise if you'd have chose the word trousers instead of the word britches. So he said, well, what did I say before I used the word britches? The person said, I'm not sure. Well, what did I say after I used the word britches? Oh, I'm not sure. Well, I'm glad I used the word britches, or you wouldn't have gotten anything out of the sermon today. People come to church, and they think it's about them. The last I checked, the service is about him. If I sow into him, he'll pour out into my life. We bring the consumerism to the church. It's either too hot or too cold. We don't sing enough songs, too slow, too fast. We miss the point. It's all about the Lord. Now, does the Lord have diversity, have creativity? He has all those things. But ladies and gentlemen, a person who's chosen to have tunnel vision, he or she is very frustrated with life. And they miss what God really had planned for them. And God doesn't want us to miss the days ahead where he's saying to us, enlarge it, sow it, lengthen it, and believe God for great and mighty and wonderful things. Some time ago, I was in Dallas-Fort Worth on a very early flight, and I was flying for a luncheon in Baltimore, and I turned around and coming right back. And the plane had a delay, and the lady came to the counter and said, hey, got a mechanical delay, we're sorry about that. And the guy next to me is so frustrated, I mean, so aggravated, and he gets up and he goes over there and you can hear him yelling at the lady across the counter. He says, you know, I'm probably going to miss my meeting. I'm thinking, okay. And he goes, I got up early this morning. I thought, really? We all got up early this morning. It's a 7 a.m. flight. And you can hear him. You can hear him yelling. And so he comes back over and he sits down. I said, hey, guy. I said, you know, you probably travel a lot more than I do. I said, but I'll tell you what I've learned. I've learned a little secret about this stuff. He goes, what's that secret you learned? I said, I've learned it's a lot easier for them to fix this plane on the ground than they can up there. And I said, if you don't like this, I promise you, if we get up there with a broken plane, you think this is bad? I said, man, we get up there with a broken plane, it's going to be terrible. I said, I don't care how long it takes. I just want to get on a plane that flies right. I have been on planes when the wheels wouldn't go out. I have been on planes when engines have gone out. I have gone on planes when I thought it was the last flight. And I tell you, after you've been on that kind of stuff, you say, hey, man, I don't care how long that delay is. Let's just take our time. But see, but a person that thinks it's about him or her, they get frustrated and they take it out on other people. That's not the way the Lord has called us to live our life. And if you believe it, say amen. It's the covering that God designs. But quickly and last, the conviction that God demands. The conviction that God demands. And then he says, strengthen your tent pegs. And here's the reason why. If you are enlarging your tent and you don't make the tent taut and tight across the top, you have these kind of bows in it. When it starts raining, the weight of that water will bring your tent crashing to the ground. So the secret is, while we're building bigger, we have to build deeper. That's the answer. That while we're building bigger, enlarging, we have to build it deeper, or it will collapse. So he says, we got to strengthen our tent pegs. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I believe there are some tent pegs that need to be strengthened. The first one is the tent peg of priority. Jesus Christ is to be number one in our life. Not second place, not third place, but first place. He didn't come to be a place, he came to be the place. We need to prioritize our life. I want to challenge every one of us in this room in the next 12 months to read the Bible through. I didn't get many amens. You say, but James, there's some parts of the Bible I really don't like. Okay, just rip those pages out. You don't like Leviticus? Just rip it out. No big deal. You don't like the book of Romans because it's a little complicated? Just rip that out. Let me ask you a question. How big would your Bible be if you took out all the pages that you don't read? We all have our favorite spots, do we not? I have some favorites. It's okay to have some favorite verses, but God put all the verses in there. He expects us to read it all. I challenge you in the next 12 months to read the Bible through. And I tell you what, you will get bigger. You will enlarge your tent. Your spirit will become larger because the Word of God is getting in you. The tent peg of priority. We got to put Christ first in our life. Every area of our life has to be Jesus Christ centered. We have to put down the tent peg of priority. We have to put down the tent peg of power. You know, there's nothing worse than serving the Lord with an outdated touch upon our life. Can you imagine with me a dad or a mom who prepared a breakfast and they brought the children in and they looked down at it and they said to dad or to mom, what's that green stuff on the toast? Oh, it's fresh mold. It's fresh mold on that toast. Really? What's the lumps in that milk? Oh, you'll love it. It's fresh curdled spoiled milk. You're going to love it. I'm sharing this right before lunch because it'll curb your appetite. But drink it, son, or drink it, daughter. Eat it, son. Eat it, daughter. The child will look out and say, something wrong. You would never serve your children outdated, worn out food. And yet so many believers walk into the new day with yesterday's touch of God upon their life. I'm submitting to you today, if we're going to build a tent that lasts, if we're going to build a tent that's large, if we're going to build a tent that represents who God is, there must be the power of the Holy Spirit in that tent. in that tent. We don't need less, but we need more. We don't need a tributary. We need a mighty river of God. The tent peg of power. We need a tent peg of persistence. You can always tell the size of a person by what takes that person to stop. You know, there's some people you just can't stop them. Doesn't matter what the obstacle is. They just keep coming. The Apostle Paul was like that. You stone him, he gets up. You have a shipwreck, he keeps going. You throw him in prison, he just writes books. You just can't stop him. You can always tell the size of a person by what it takes to stop him or her. Some people stop at the smallest little things. They allow fear or frustration or disappointment to rob them of the victory that's just right around the corner for their life. This past Thursday, I was telling Dr. Knight before we came out, I was at a meeting down there in Palm Beach. My brother was hosting a meeting there, and he had Jack Nicklaus there as one of his speakers. And so he was interviewing Jack, and he said something that captivated my imagination, and I want to say it here today. He said, anybody can be successful if they're not afraid of winning. And then he said this. He said, a lot of people are afraid to try and afraid to take the risk that's necessary to win. Persistence. We don't just come to church on sunshiny days. We come to church on rainy days. We don't just serve the Lord when it's comfortable. We serve the Lord when it's uncomfortable because we believe in persistence. And when persecution comes, we double up our persistence and we wear out the persecutor with the success that God has given to us. Before the last, the stake of provision. See, the Lord says, give and it shall be given. Pressed down, running over. He says, you can't outgive the Lord. And we know that in words, but do we know it in life? We can't outgive the Lord. And where God gives fresh vision, he also gives fresh provision. He does. He first of all works on the inside before he puts something in your hand to build it. And God knows how to do it. And my friend, there is no need too big. There is no problem too large. There is nothing that's beyond the reach of God. And God knows how to provide for you and for me and for Covenant Community Church and for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the world. I'm here to tell you, my friend, we do not have a money problem. We have a motivation problem. We need to believe that God is for us, not against us, and he's going to give us the victory in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Oh, my friend, I'm telling you today, he's telling us to believe him for something large and significant in our life. And with this, I'm finished. And I didn't share this in the early bird service, but I'll share it here. It's like it was yesterday. I was driving my car from Indianapolis, Indiana to Terre Haute, Indiana. I looked down. It was Dr. Bill Bright, founder of Campus Crusade, calling me. And he said, James, you got a minute? That's what he'd always say. I said, sure, I always have a minute. More than that for you, Dr. Bryant. And he was in the very twilight years of his life. Listen very carefully to the story, and I'll be very quickly and be done. He said, I'm sitting here in this oxygen tent, breathing in special oils, because at that time he had pulmonary fibrosis, the hardening of the lungs. And he was in his early 80s. And we were just starting to work together. And we hadn't even gotten the network up yet. And I was driving along. He called and he said, I'm sitting in this tent and I'm just praising the Lord for you. And I'm praising the Lord for his provision. And praising the Lord for his faithfulness. And he said, James, you can't outgive God. And I said, I know that. And he said, listen, you can't outgive the Lord. He said, did you hear me? With such emphasis. I said, I heard you. He was a Presbyterian, a wonderful Presbyterian, a very godly, faith-filled Presbyterian. We do laps around many of us charismatics, I promise you. And he says, you can't outgive the Lord. He said, James, when I was 65 years old, One morning in Birmingham, Alabama, I got up in my prayer time and I felt like the Lord said to me, give my pension to help start a training center in the Ukraine. So I went to my wife, Annette, and I said, honey, I felt like the Lord is saying to me that I am to give my pension to sow it to help start a training center in the Ukraine. He said, I'm not talking about your pension, I'm talking about mine. And he said, James, it wasn't a lot of money. It was only $50,000 I had saved in my entire life. And he said, but I felt like the Lord was saying to me, sow it into the Ukraine. So I did. And now I'm sitting in this tent. I'm 81. And I'm just praising the Lord and thanking the Lord for all he's done in my life and for us to be able to work together. He said, you remember when you came out to California to see me? I said, yeah. He said, you brought your lovely wife? I said, yes, sir. He said, what you didn't know is I've been given such a negative report that I was going to get on a plane after our meeting. I was going to fly Hurley back home because I didn't want to go back to Florida in a box. I was so sick. And so I got in that plane and I flew all the way to Orlando. And that night a businessman met me. And I began to talk to this businessman, and he said, I have a doctor that I want you to meet. She specializes in pulmonary diseases, and she is from the Ukraine. She doesn't have any place to live. I'd like for her to move in with you and Vonette. She doesn't have a doctor's license yet. She can't officially practice yet here in America. But she is extremely good at what she does. She brought healing to those who went through the nuclear crisis there in the Ukraine after the nuclear explosion with their pulmonary diseases. And he said, James, I moved her into our house. I began to allow her to treat me. She only had one patient. It was me. She didn't have a place to live, so she lived with us. And my body began to renew and revive because of it. And then I remembered when I was 65 years young, I sold my pension into the Ukraine. And I gave that to God. And I believed that God was at work. But at the time I needed him the most, he brought somebody out of the Ukraine and moved him into my house so that I could launch a network to touch the world. He said, James, I'm telling you, you can't outgive God. And I'm telling you, you can't. Let's build a tent. Let's enlarge our spirit. Let's sow our resources and believe that God is going to give us a multitude of children coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Oh, my friend, that is the word that God has given to us today. Would you please stand with me in this sacred gathering? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I know we're running a little behind schedule today. I count it a privilege to be here and to teach and preach where Pastor Mike preaches week after week after week after week after week. I thank God for Covenant Community Church. But the Lord is challenging all of us to enlarge our tent. Spare not, lengthen, strengthen. He's challenging us. He's challenging me. He's challenging all of us to believe God. We're at his word. In a moment, I'm going to count to three as they play softly a simple chorus today. I'm going to count to three. And when I count to three, if you can say with integrity to the Lord, Lord, enlarge my tent. Enlarge my tent. Enlarge me. Enlarge my spirit. Enlarge how I see you, Lord, and how I live my life. When I count to three, if you can say that with integrity, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand, and we're going to ask God to begin that process today. And my hand will be the first one that will go up. One, two, three. If that's you, just lift your hand. Just keep it up. Dear Heavenly Father, you see the hands that are lifted in this sacred gathering today. I pray for my brother and my sister. I pray, Lord, that you enlarge their tent. I pray, God, that you'll put great people into their life. I pray, Lord, that you will order their steps and their stops. I pray, God, that you will prosper their path. I pray, God, they'll see things before they are. And God, help them to step out on faith and believe that you will put all the pieces together. Lord, I thank you for this. I thank you, God, for the work that you have planned for us as individuals and us as a church. in the days ahead. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory for it all. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen and amen. You may be seated.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.